Welcome to All About HR, the podcast dedicated to unraveling the mysteries of human resources and empowering you with the knowledge to navigate the modern workplace successfully. I'm your host, Laura Hunley, and I'm thrilled to embark on this HR journey with you. Let's go. Welcome back to All About HR, where we delve into the minds of brilliant individuals shaping the HR space and beyond. I am thrilled to introduce today's guest, Dr. Peggy DeLong. With a wealth of experience and expertise, Dr. DeLong brings a unique perspective to our discussions. Known as the gratitude psychologist, she has been at the forefront of teaching people how to harness the power of gratitude, joy, and nature to live their best lives. Join us now as we explore her insights, experiences, and the valuable lessons she has to share. Welcome, Dr. Peggy, to All About HR.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you. First of all, very much am a proponent of gratitude. I think everybody should have a gratitude journal. It shocks me when people don't. So I'm very excited to hear you talk about this and promote it. So maybe let's start there. Gratitude. Tell me about gratitude. Where did it come from? How did it start? How do we acknowledge it? All the things.
What I love about gratitude is that it connects us to our life. It helps us to be more present in our lives. And I always like to share that I was an ungrateful teen. I was an ungrateful young adult. And it took tragedy in my life to discover the power of gratitude. And I learned during the most difficult time of my life that gratitude is most powerful during our difficult times. So don't save gratitude for your good days. Gratitude is truly most powerful on your difficult days. And really, all that means is just connecting with your life and feeling that gratefulness, that appreciation for people, places, things, and experiences in our lives.
Okay. Is it hard for people to be grateful?
I think that it is, especially when we're so busy comparing ourselves to other people, and social media makes that even more challenging, that you can be grateful and appreciate what you've got going on in your own life. But as soon as you compare yourself to somebody else, it immediately zaps joy and decreases appreciation. And that's a really big challenge. It's a natural human tendency to compare ourselves to other people, and social media just makes that even more present, where it's a constant battle. But when we focus on what we have in our own lives, it brings more happiness, more joy, and we live happier, more fulfilling lives when we connect with what we do have, not what other people have or what we don't have. We really focus on what we do have.
I have a gratitude journal, and one thing I struggle with is it seems like you want to have like big things to be grateful for. So how do you get some perspective on what to be grateful for, how to be grateful?
I intentionally encourage people to keep it simple. When we keep it simple, there are simply more opportunities for feeling good every single day. They're right in front of us, things that we might take for granted. But we tell ourselves we need to wait for the huge things to practice gratitude. But truly, when we start with the simple things, running water, that we can open the refrigerator and choose food, go to the grocery store and pick from 5 different types of apples, all these wonderful things that we simply take for granted that are really quite wonderful. Even the color in a blade of grass or the blue sky. When we connect with those beautiful things, there's simply more opportunities for feeling good every day. They're right in front of us. And when we connect with them, our brain highlights them, we pay attention and notice, and that translates to more happiness and joy in life.
Nice. Yeah, I think I do notice that. I'm curious too, I've heard this term associated with gratitude and positive psychology. So how do those play into each other?
Sure. Practicing gratitude is a method of positive psychology. And really what that just means is focusing on the positive method of growth, where previously, before the father of positive psychology, Marty Seligman, it was a lot of illness focused, where it's positive psychology is focusing on growth and strength and things that are positive. That's really what that means. And gratitude is one method. And it's really my favorite. In all of my 30 years in mental health, I have found it to be the most powerful for creating a happy life.
All right. Okay. So we've discussed the life version of it. How does this apply in the workspace?
It applies in the workspace because the way we feel about ourselves in our personal life, we bring that into work. It is connected with productivity. And we spend so much time, so much of our lives is spent at work. And the happier we are in our personal lives, the more productive and more we feel good when we're on the job. And truly, there's a mental health crisis in the country. And the more that we prioritize our mental health, the happier we are at work, at home, and in our relationships with our families, and with everything. But we need to make mental health a priority. And it's not separate. We're not a separate being from our personal life to when we show up at work. We are one person. And when we can prioritize our mental health, it translates to a happier individual and a happier workforce.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear this in the hot sauce questions coming up, but a phrase that drives you nuts at work, one of the phrases that drives me nuts when I hear people say it is, leave your personal life at home. And I'm a manager, and I've been a manager for most of my professional career. And I've always struggled to see people try to do that, where it's, you are a person, you're a person at work. And I've never expected anybody to not be a human being at work. And of course, that means sometimes your personal life is going to come up. But if that means needing a mental health day or taking the day off or doing just pausing for a minute, whatever it is, you have to be a person, right?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the factors of resilience is knowing when to take a break, not pushing through and being tough on yourself. Actually, the opposite is more helpful when you have self-compassion and know when you need to take a break, and then most of all, actually take that break. So that could be a mental health day for some people going through a really difficult time. It could be a leave of absence. And for every person, it might be something different. But taking that break and prioritizing mental health makes a happier person, and then that translates to a happier workforce. There is no separation.
Yeah. And you said something earlier, too, that it resonates with me, that there is a mental health crisis here. I guess I want to hear more about your thoughts on that. Like, how did it come to be? Are we at the kind of a boiling point right now?
Absolutely. There was a loneliness epidemic before the pandemic, which has only been exacerbated. People are reporting more loneliness than ever before. And that's a huge problem because the number one factor and predictor of happiness is our human relationships. So when people are feeling lonely and dissatisfied and not that feeling of belonging and connection, people are feeling really depressed. More so than depressed, many are reporting feeling emotionally numb. Mm-hmm. So not only can't feel the sadness, but also cannot experience joy. People have lost connection to joy, that emotional numbness. The clinical term is anhedonia, and it really just means that you just don't feel anything. Lost connection of things that previously brought joy. People aren't engaged in hobbies anymore, or not reaching out to the people that they used to spend time with. Their social circles have decreased. And we really need to pay attention to this and foster our human relationships, particularly in work settings where we spend most of our time. That we don't need to be best friends with everybody at work, but we need to foster and cultivate close relationships so it's a place where we enjoy being around the people that we work with.
Yeah. So how would you recommend that organizations take a step in the right direction for this?
Anything that helps bring people together, that could be periodic retreats where they take a half day or a full day and spend time as a culture, time together. Another could be everyday work breaks at certain times where people can convene and have a cup of coffee or lunch rather than having it at their desk. Encouraging human connection, anything that can be built into the workday, we need to refuel during the workday, and connecting with other people is a wonderful way to refuel. one of the traditions that I love at one of my daughters goes to school, they have what's called common hour, where every week the school pretty much shuts down. You are not allowed to have office hours, no classes, no club meetings, and everybody convenes in a large auditorium and they have a speaker. They serve food sometimes, pizza, and it brings everybody together. And it's just a wonderful tradition that this college campus has had for decades. Things like that, that people that are just nice traditions that are part of a culture, but particularly include the human connection. And people can get really creative with this. One idea that I love, because I love speaking about gratitude, is pairing people up and doing what I call team gratitude. And that just means two people connecting on a regular basis, could be daily, mm-hmm. and sharing every day what they're grateful for. And this is so powerful because it automatically builds into our daily schedule human connection. So we're talking about it in the context of gratitude, and we get that human connection. And it's also great because of that accountability factor. So you might want to start a gratitude practice, but when you're doing it with a partner, it just holds you more accountable. Another benefit is that by hearing what somebody else is grateful for, it expands your awareness of things that you've got going on in your own life that you may have overlooked. But by hearing somebody else say it out loud, it shows you, I've got that too. I can be grateful for that too. And then get to share what you're grateful for. So you get a double dose of gratitude. So that, I love team gratitude. And this can be with people in our personal lives and with our coworkers.
Oh, I love that. I think I'm going to have our organization try to do that.
You know, I talk about many different methods of practicing gratitude. This one people really love. And I've even heard people do it for an entire year. And it's just amazing how it helps with mental health, but it also helps to foster human connection. And we need that more than ever right now.
Oh, yeah. I think when we all went remote, and for the most part, I think a lot of organizations have stayed remote. I know it's a topic now that they're bringing people back into an office space, but I also know from personal experience that it's something that more and more organizations are allowing the workforce to work remotely. It opens up flexibility for their employees, and just like all of the benefits that we realized when we were forced into it during the pandemic. But it is the thing that gets lost is that those moments of you're just walking by somebody's office, you say hi, and even it's just a couple of minutes of how are you doing this morning? Very small, seems almost insignificant. But when that is completely gone, I think it really does take a toll.
Absolutely, it takes a toll. Personally, in our personal lives, when we're going about our day, and in our work day. So when we don't have it, when we're working remotely, it's important to be mindful of that and find ways, whether it's a 15-minute connection over a cup of coffee or anything that you can connect with people as well virtually and remotely and in person. So people don't have to be in person every day, but to have those periodic gatherings where people can all be together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. On that note, we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back.
Understand, engage, inspire, and retain your people like never before. People Elements Employee Experience and Engagement Solution delivers powerful intelligence, giving you the confidence to act. To learn how you can gain a better understanding of your employees, please visit us at peopleelement.com.
Welcome to the HR Hot Sauce. Peggy, are you ready?
I am so excited to be here. Ready.
Awesome. Okay, what is the best job you've ever had?
I am very fortunate to say that is the job that I have now. Teaching people about gratitude and happiness and living our best lives even during difficult times.
Love it. What's the one phrase at work that drives you nuts?
It is what it is. I can't stand that phrase.
I think that's true for all of us. Do you like working on rainy or sunny days?
I like both. I love working on rainy days. I actually tend to get a little bit more creative. The weather affects me and my mood, and I tend to be more creative on rainy days. And also when it's raining, then I don't feel like I'm missing out on some wonderful activity outdoors that I could be doing.
I hear that. That's how we are in Colorado. How can someone make your day at work?
By letting me know how something I have said touched them, that made them, reminded them that they can overcome and deal with anything that life comes their way.
Oh, love that. How about best useless skill?
I can blow air out of my eye.
What? Oh, I wish there was a way you could demonstrate that right now. That is fun. How about mild, medium, hot, or nuclear?
Yeah, like hot, but not too hot.
Got it. Yeah, that's fair. How about favorite interview question to ask or be asked?
I like to hear and talk about origin stories, why people do what they do and their passion, particularly related to their profession.
Oh, yeah. How about a song to bring you out of a funk?
Rhinestone Cowboy, Glen Campbell.
Love it. All right. That's it for the HR Hot Sauce. You made it. Thank you so much. Well, now back to the show. All right. Welcome back. Dr. Peggy survived the hot sauce questions. Really excited to get back into the conversation about gratitude. So going back to the workspace, what are some things that leaders can do or a framework that leaders can employ to promote, say, gratitude in the workspace?
Sure. What I love to talk about is a framework of the four P's. And what that stands for is prioritize, plan, practice, prosper. Prioritize mental health, plan health-promoting activities, practice them often, and prosper even during difficult times. So we need to be future-oriented and prioritize mental health for a prosperous future. And the great news is what we do today feels good today and sets us up for the most possible positive, self-fulfilling, most fulfilling future. So that's the framework that I like to do. And then within that, my favorite is gratitude. So I teach methods of practicing gratitude within the framework of the four P's. Now, you could do so many different things with the four P's. You could focus on exercising. You could focus on eating well, journaling. So many different things are connected with mental health. But for all of those things, we need supplies. If you want to exercise, you need running sneakers. If you want a gratitude journal, you need a pen and paper. What I love about gratitude just itself is that we only need our brains, and it can be done at any time of day, takes very little time, feels good immediately, and helps with long-term mental health when practiced regularly.
So when you say it can be done any time of day, is there a best practice that suggests that you do it at the same time?
It really doesn't matter when. It doesn't have to be the same time. What I typically suggest that people have a gratitude practice in the morning and then another one in the evening. And I go over, I have a program, I call it the Grateful Day, and it's 5 daily exercises in gratitude in less than 5 minutes a day. And exercise number 1 is when you wake up, and exercise number 5 is when your head hits the pillow at the end of the day. And then there's 3 more during the day. So it doesn't necessarily matter when, but particularly upon wakening and going to bed is when it can be really helpful and powerful, because those are states of consciousness where we are more susceptible to ideas. One is called the hippocampic state. Another is the hypnagogic state. And these are states of awareness when we're simply more susceptible to ideas. So we can harness that with that knowledge, and anything that we're focused on becomes really powerful. So gratitude becomes even more powerful at those particular times of day, which is why I suggest doing it right upon waking.
I love that. And is there a trick to tying in, if you want to accomplish something, to tie in that gratitude or that exercise with something else that you might want to be doing?
Absolutely. In fact, when I'm working with clients, whether it's a personal or a business, one of the most powerful things that we can do when we are engaged in an undesirable task or something that just doesn't feel good for us, when we attach it to gratitude, it helps to elevate mood immediately. When we think about what we're grateful for, automatically we get a dose of serotonin and dopamine in our brains that is responsible for that feel-good, sensation. It elevates our mood, it elevates our energy level, and it helps us to do whatever we need to do. Sometimes that other thing can feel good, but a lot of times the things that we need to do at work don't feel so good. So it helps us to get through those tasks that are necessary, but that we just might need a boost of energy in order to get through it.
Oh, yeah. I think I do suffer a little bit from procrastination. And I didn't know I was doing it, but I think I am, that I have to psych myself up a little bit before I do said activity. All right. So you mentioned the Grateful Day and the five exercises. And it sounds like that's a program that you use or you teach.
Yes, it's a program that I've developed over the course of time of speaking about gratitude for over 10 years. I've just taken the best of the best, the really attention to the feedback that I get, what resonates with people the most, as well as the research in psychology about what helps the most with mental health and happiness. And I've taken that research and built that into the five daily exercises so that it's research-based and with the feedback of the both individual clients and the large audiences that when I do my keynote presentation.
I'm getting the feeling you're very passionate about this. And I'm curious if you want to share what inspired you or how did you get into specifically this field of psychology?
Sure. Actually, it happened by accident. As I mentioned before, I was an ungrateful teen and an ungrateful young adult. And it was during the worst time of my life when gratitude got me through the most difficult days. I was 26 years old. I was engaged to a wonderful man and applying to graduate schools. And every school I applied to wanted to interview me. So I'm planning a wedding, planning graduate school. Life is going well. Until suddenly it wasn't. When my fiance, what appeared to be literally overnight, developed a lump on the side of his neck and unfortunately was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. And passed away 7 months later. And it was those last days in the hospital when the doctors said that there was nothing left that they could do for him and that he was going to die. That is when I discovered the power of gratitude through a simple cup of hazelnut coffee, of all things. Everything was so incredibly unpredictable. I didn't know if he'd be able to open his eyes and look at me that day. I didn't know if he'd be able to speak my name. I didn't know if he was going to die that day. Every day was so nauseatingly unpredictable. But what was predictable was that I could get myself a cup of hazelnut coffee and enjoy that cup as I sat by his side for 42 nights and days. And the warmth of the cup brought me comfort. The aroma permeated his hospital room. Hazelnut is very strong smell. That smell made his hospital room seem less sterile. It just brought me comfort. And I hung on to that hazelnut coffee. It seemed to just made me feel better. And now I understand why. Now I understand how practicing gratitude for something so simple during the worst days of my life got me through. So that's why I say, don't save gratitude for your good days. Gratitude is most powerful on your worst days. And then I became really curious, why is this so powerful? So I love studying the research and the brain science behind why practicing gratitude is so powerful for our mental health, even especially when we're going through difficult times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So how, if somebody maybe is resistant or it's something that they don't think that it applies to them, how do we speak to that part of the group or society or population?
I would say just give it a try. Just give it a try. The tough part is that, as with anything, we need to want to do it. We get more benefit when it's something that we actually want to do. One question that I often get when I do a presentation is, how can I make so-and-so more grateful? How can I make my husband more grateful, my spouse, my child? And the truth is, we really can't. Somebody has to want it. But through modeling can be really powerful to introduce people to the power of gratitude. I speak when I see a beautiful sunset. I point it out to my teenage son, and now he appreciates sunsets. And when he's at college, he texts me a photo of a sunset because he knows how much I love sunsets. So it's now become one way that we appreciate nature. So modeling is a wonderful way, but I would say just give it a try. And the great thing is that once we try, and it does feel good because it's undeniable, we get that hit of dopamine and serotonin, that whether you want to or not, it happens, and that makes you feel better. So you want to keep on doing it. And then the great thing is that even just after doing it for 21 days or little bit longer, it takes to really solidify, but we form new neural pathways of being a more positive thinker, and that feels good. So I love that the science behind it, that functional MRIs show that when we practice gratitude on a regular basis, we are forming a new neural pathway to be a more positive thinker. And that happens effortlessly. We didn't do anything other than a simple daily practice in gratitude, keeping it simple, feeling grateful for something that you might be taking for granted. That's all that it takes.
Oh, yeah. I've also found in sometimes perspective, I sprained my ankle for the very first time in my life in August of last year. And I remember laying in bed, and I have a dog, and I try to walk my dog at least two times a day. And I remember trying to get up on my ankle to even just let him outside in my backyard and thinking, this really hurts, and I'm going to be grateful when I'm just able to get easily out of bed and not have to just hobble on my sprained ankle that hurt really bad. And I also felt terrible for my dog. He was having to wait extra long for me to very slowly to get him outside and then alternately not get out on walks like we normally do. So it's a weird thing, but there is that perspective. Do you find that too, that sometimes when something is taken away that you did take for granted, you have
absolutely
that perspective?
Absolutely. It does give us new perspectives. And the great news is it doesn't have to be that way. We can imagine being without something in order to elevate our appreciation for it. We can imagine not having running water. We can imagine that our refrigerator or our washing machine broke. Sometimes it does happen. And then naturally you can appreciate when it starts working. But it's amazing how it doesn't even need to happen. You can simply imagine to increase your level of appreciation for something.
Oh, wow. So just that, even just that simple exercise, that you could even do that. Like, you could take people through that exercise. Just imagine a scenario, and then does your brain naturally turn to then, oh, yeah, I guess I am pretty happy or grateful that I have this thing in my life, whatever it might be.
Yes. And when I'm working with clients with gratitude, and also in my gratitude journal, that's one of the things that I encourage. It's a prompt that I provide. What is something in your daily life that is so simple that you might be taking for granted that if you didn't have, would decrease your life satisfaction? Think about that, and it just elevates the level of appreciation for the simple things that we have that we might be overlooking. Mm-hmm. Opportunities for experiencing joy every day by connecting that something makes life easier or more simple or more enjoyable.
Yeah, I was noticing at work too. I really like it when people, you just hear somebody say, oh, I appreciate, and it could be very small, I appreciate you did that thing for me, whatever it might be. And it's nice to have things that are personal for me that I'm grateful for. So like my ankle working. But I also realize that I really do hearing too when people share with me what they appreciate when I do something, whatever it might be, even small.
Yes. And shared appreciation is wonderful. So you get to benefit by hearing what somebody is grateful for. And the great thing also is that it grows and it happens effortlessly. So when you are focused on gratitude, you will find more wonderful things to be grateful for every single day. And unfortunately, it works in the other direction also. When you're complaining about things, your brain is going to look for more things to complain about. So we get to choose. We get to choose what we focus on, whether we want to be grateful for the simplest things or if we want to complain and notice things that are going wrong. So that I don't think about being grateful anymore. It simply just happens. And then I notice more. Just a very simple, silly almost example is I love to ski. And when I have to use the restroom with all my ski gear, my helmet, my everything, it can be very cumbersome. And just yesterday I was skiing and I noticed that the door went outward rather than it coming inward. And I'm all like in my ski stuff trying to get out. The door closed and went outward. And I just, wow, that's really nice that I can just so easily exit this little cubicle. It was something so simple, but it brought me joy, that it just made my day a little bit more easy. Things like that, that somebody else could have just gone about their merry way and not really noticed. But that's, my brain picks up on these things because I've trained it to notice and appreciate the simple things that make my life a little bit easier and happier.
Oh, yeah, that's great. It made me think, too, of when somebody, as you're talking about, it can go the other way. And I call it, I don't know if this, I don't think it's a clinical term, but I call it vortexing, where I've seen it happen to individuals and then in groups, where somebody starts complaining about something maybe fairly small or innocuous, and then they get the group to semi, like maybe in, not even intentionally, the group to spiral with them about whatever the thing is.
Yes. That is a real thing, that contagion that people can, if they're not careful, can actually bond over complaining. And that is not a positive way to have a bond, to be like you might see a certain person and then automatically the two of you can just get into this back and forth about complaining. And it might feel good in the moment, but you're not helping each other with growth and mental health. But the good news is the positive can happen as well, where people can intentionally think about what they're grateful for and feed off each other's positivity.
Oh, great. Wow. That is amazing. Okay. So I just want to make sure we covered all of the bases because there was a lot to cover. So where to start with gratitude? So I just want to make sure that we recap that. So where is a good place to start with it? Say you're brand new to this and you're interested. You don't know where to start. Where do you start?
I would suggest team gratitude. I think that whether it's a personal setting or a work setting, to find one partner that is willing to commit with you to share ideas on a daily basis about what you're grateful for. And because it is so important for human connection. And the more human connection we can get in our daily lives, the happier we are. There's a loneliness epidemic. So that would be my number one recommendation. But then on top of that, something that is so simple that any individual can do is just think about one simple thing in your life that you might be taking for granted, and then connect with how wonderful that simple thing is, whether it's running water, that you had a comfortable bed to sleep on, whatever it is for you. What is that one simple thing you might be taking for granted?
Okay, awesome. All right. So then maybe somebody wants to take it to the next level. And they want to maybe explore either a book or a class or anything that you would do in as your part of your practice to the next level. What is that recommendation?
Sure. I have several different levels based on where people are coming from. And the simplest is probably my gratitude journal. I took the research in psychology that demonstrates what makes a gratitude journal most effective, and I came up with writing prompts. So I have 30 different writing prompts that repeat 12 times to make a full year of gratitude journal writing, taking into consideration these two things. Any piece of paper will do, but when we're engaged in a gratitude practice, a journaling practice, one thing that makes it most effective is if we change it up every day. So if you write about your best friend, then challenge yourself for the other 29 days not to write about your best friend. It helps to scan your environment for different things to be grateful for. The second idea is to be specific. So if you are writing about your best friend, think about why. Why is she your best friend? Does she give great hugs? Keep your secrets. You've been friends 20 years. What is it about your best friend? Get into the why. So those two things make a gratitude journal much more effective. So I do have a gratitude journal that gives the writing prompts that provides that. The next level up would be what I call my 30-day gratitude transformation. And every day I provide one simple way to practice gratitude to help people expand their different ways so they never get bored and will always find something that they can connect with for gratitude. And then the higher level, I have an 8-week online course, 8-week course giving the research, different ideas to practice gratitude for people that are really interested in diving deep into the power of gratitude.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm adding it to my Amazon cart right now, the 365-day gratitude journal. I am very excited to start that. And it sounds like you don't have to start it on like a January 1st thing. You can start at any time, right?
And I intentionally did not put dates on it. It just has day one, day two. So if you skip a date, you don't have to feel bad about yourself or go back. You just pick up right where you left off. And then what I'm being hired for corporations and universities to speak about is the Grateful Day. And that is a wonderful for a large audience to teach these five exercises. And it's afterward, I have a 5-day challenge to help people put the ideas into action. And that's the Grateful Day.
Oh, wow. So I love this. It sounds like you can, if you've never done anything like this before, there's a really good, easy steps to take to start things off. And then it just goes up from there.
Absolutely. And I love that it just goes up because that's what gratitude does for us.
Love it. This is amazing. Peggy, I think that is an excellent place for us to stop. And thank you so much for sharing your expertise here. I very much appreciate it. Thank you for your time. This has been amazing. I hope if you're up for it, to maybe have you back at some point in the future.
Absolutely. Love to return.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you.